Our reading this morning is from the book of Romans, chapter 16. It is written to the church. Now all glory to God who's able to make you strong, just as my good news says. This message about Jesus Christ has revealed his plan for you Gentiles, a plan kept secret from the beginning of time. But now, as the prophets foretold, as the eternal God has commanded, this message is made known to all Gentiles everywhere, so that they too might believe and obey him. All glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So what have we learned now that we did not know 5-6 months ago? I've been asking myself and thinking about that quite often, and perhaps more than anything, I can certainly say, and I think many of you could testify to this, is that I have discovered what the church means, maybe more than ever, that the church is not found in a building. The church is not found in some kind of man-made structure. The church is where Jesus Christ lives, where he exists. And where does Jesus live? He lives in here. He lives with our love for one another. That's where he exists.
Amen.
And what I kind of now know, when you read this passage here and it says, now all glory to God who's able to make you strong. What is Paul saying there? How are we made strong? And here's what I know. Here's what I absolutely believe now. And I want to tell you a story this morning. The fact that the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter that we just heard, the main architect of this letter, he is speaking from a position that about strength of how he, where he had gotten to that caused him to be the apostle he became. And what do I mean by that? Well, what I did not have a chance to do is I wanted to read all of Romans 16, but I knew that would have been absolutely impossible for me to get through. And secondly, I don't know if I could have had anybody else read it here. And the reason why is Paul lists, let me put it up here, 37 names, okay, of people that had changed his life. Names we don't know and names we cannot pronounce. Now for us, okay, this is just a list. It's just a list of names we don't know. But for Paul, it was family. For Paul, it was about finding family. Not only the family that is our blood, but the family that can become our blood. Now, the question is, how did Paul come to know all these people, and what does it have to do with us here some 2,000 years later? How does that impact us? And what is remarkable about Paul is if you ever look in the back of your Bible, the very back of it, in the maps section, which I bet many of you have never looked at. Maybe some of you have, okay? But if you ever look in there is a map always in there that gives the journeys of the Apostle Paul. And you see all those little squiggly lines all over the map? Here's what is absolutely stunning to me, and not just to me, to millions of other people down through the centuries, is the amount of ground that the Apostle Paul covered is just nothing short of just absolutely miraculous. He was a man on the land, and he was a man on the sea. His chief goal in his life was take the gospel to the ends of the earth. In other words, Paul was a one-man wrecking machine for God. He was the apostle that shook up the world. And if you look at these maps, one of the things that many Pauline scholars have seen is that so many of the places he stopped and so many of the places where he spent time were in coastal towns. Just like this one. And the reason why is Paul knew being on the sea was his way to reach the world with the gospel. And no doubt many scholars have said that in all these trips on the sea and all these coastal towns that Paul spent time in, he would have asked the question to people, where is the furthest you've ever been? Where is the end of the earth? And what almost all of them would have said, who have ever traveled in a distance, they would have said, Spain. Spain is the end of the earth. And you know what Paul said? I'm going to Spain. I'm going to take the gospel to the ends of the earth. It may kill me doing it, but I'm gonna die trying. And so he writes this letter to the Romans, and he tells them what he's about to do. He's about to try to eventually take the gospel to the ends of the earth, to Spain, and he's coming through Rome, and he's raising money to be able to do it. And near the very end of the letter, he begins to look back on his life and begins to talk about the people that have absolutely changed him over 25 years in ministry. And he lists, okay, all these people here, these 37 names, people that have shaped the Apostle Paul's life. There's a husband and wife. There's a son and his mother. There are brothers. There's a brother and a sister. There are twin sisters. There are siblings. There is a single man. There's an old man. There's a single woman. And yet, when you look at this list, okay, you begin to realize this is not exactly a traditional nuclear family anywhere on this list. And what you also begin to realize, it's not about that. It's not about just names or how we describe a family. This had become Paul's family. Family is not always about our blood, but through the blood of Jesus Christ, it's about those who can become our blood. And so for Paul, this is exactly what had happened. He was dramatically changed by these people. And I want to paint the picture here, because this is where I think the connective tissue happens for us here. Because we look at the Apostle Paul and we think, what does he have to do with me? He's this giant. And yet, Paul writes this letter to the Romans. And near the very end of it, he begins to look back on his life. And I just imagine he's about to make this move to try to get to Spain. And he's got a couple boxes packed. Not much. He's not traveling with much. He's got a cloak, some parchment papers, and a couple of boxes, and he's sitting on these boxes, and he begins to remember and to look back all the people who had changed his life. And what most people think, he's probably around 60 years of age, and he's about to go and start one last great ministry, one last great parish. He knows, I've got one last great ministry left in me, and I think I can do it. And he begins to remember the people, and I want to put some names up here. He mentions a couple, a married couple named Priscilla and Aquila. Don't mean anything to us, okay? But what Paul says is, these people risked their lives for me. They put their lives on the, they stuck their necks out for me. And when you have somebody who not only believes in you, but believes in what you believe in, and they're willing to die for it, you never forget it, ever. So Paul writes about this couple, that one day you and I will know them, okay? He talks about another group, and that is Andronicus and Junius. And he says, we were all jailed unjustly for our faith. We were put into prison because of our faith. And they sat with me night after night, day after day in prison with me. In the darkest times of my life, they were with me. He said, they're incredible Christians. I'll never forget them. He writes years later. And then he mentions a woman just named Mary. That's all he says. A very, very common name at that time. We don't know her last name or anything about that. All we know is, he says about her, she's an incredibly hard worker. And I just imagine the nights, the days that Paul were teaching in his churches. And there at the very end of the night, in the evening, when everybody's left, Mary says to Paul, you listen, you head on home. I'll stay behind and I'll clean up. And he said, no, Mary, I'll stay with you. And she said, no, listen, you got to ride a donkey across Asia tomorrow, okay? I'll stay with you. I'll put up the hymnals. I'll put up the chairs. I want you to go home and get rest. I've got it. An incredibly strong female. He says, she's a hard worker. He remembers her. He always remembers her. Her impact on him changed him. He mentions a man named Epaphroditus. Okay, now we can't even pronounce him. I had to look it up, by the way. Okay, and all we know about Epaphroditus is what Paul says is, this was my first convert. And I got to say, Someone who's been in ministry over 25 years, you never forget the first person that you watched the light come on for them. And Paul had probably been preaching and teaching, and he probably had very little success early on, and yet finally he says, I watched Epaphroditus. I was there the hour he first believed. I saw it. It is one of, Paul said, the greatest days of my life. I didn't sleep at all that night. We will see Epaphroditus one day. And Paul writes about that, Epaphroditus. He also mentions what most scholars believe is twin sisters by how their names are pronounced, Tryphena and Tryphosa. Okay, you don't know many Tryphenas, do you? Okay. All we know is that they're twins, and they were part of Paul's church. And most likely, I've had twins in my church. Paul, years later, said, I still can't tell the two apart, okay? They wore the same clothes. They sat in the same pew every week. And yet they had an impact on Paul, Tryphena and Tryphosa. He also mentions, and this is what is amazing, a man named Rufus. And here's what is so amazing about Rufus. Rufus is the son of Simon of Cyrene. Do you remember Simon of Cyrene? This was the man that helped carry the cross up Calvary with Jesus Christ. He marched with Jesus to his death. You've always wondered what happened to Simon of Cyrene. Well, obviously, he was so changed by what happened that not only was he converted, but his whole household was converted. Because Paul talks about Rufus, and he said in the letter, I want to say hello to Rufus. And he says to Rufus, and this is what he talks about. He talks about my mother, which is Rufus's mother. Some woman had become so important to Paul that he calls her my mother. Somebody had become a mother to Paul that was not his own. And I just imagine, and I have not come up with this, other people have said this, you just got a picture that Paul goes to visit, and this woman becomes a mother to Paul, and I just can imagine her hair's pulled back in a bun, okay? She's wearing an apron. She's cooking food for everybody. And Paul says, listen, I'm busy. I've got to go. And she says to him, Paul, sit down and eat. Okay, I don't care if you're an apostle. Apostles got to eat too. She became a mother to Paul. And he says in there to Rufus, tell our mother I love her. He was changed forever. He was changed forever by these people. And the fact that Paul says in here, and you can read it there in 16, he says over and over again, hello, 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 hello. What is really happening here, and what everybody has said, is he's basically saying goodbye. Because he is about to head to Spain, and he's got to go through Rome, and he's got to go through Jerusalem first, and he knows there is a very high probability he's never going to get there. He's probably going to be martyred. And by the way, he was. And he's telling them, I want you to know, I want you to pray with me, I want you to agonize with me, I want you to know, if I'm dying, you will always be with me. I'll never forget your names. You're always with me. And this is the reason why this is not just a list. This is family. And this is the reason why he says later on in Philippians, I thank God every time I remember you. Okay, he never forgot their names. He never forgot it. And I got to tell you, in my own life, I also have a list. But it's not a list. Okay? I have it right here. I wrote this down years ago. All the people have changed my life. And it, by the way, it's growing. I can name them by heart. I don't have to write them down on paper. I already know who they are. And I can also remember here arriving here 8 years ago. Over here in this service over here at Cross School. And over the next year, I watched person after person come up to me and said, listen, Jonathan, if I'm so-and-so, if you ever need anything, I want you to call on me. My name is Jeff. I cut hair for a living. If you want me to cut your hair, or if you want your family, you come and you look me up, you call on me. I think he regrets now have us having six kids. We'll all show up at the same time, okay, but I never forgot that you call on me. My name is Jim. I can fix about anything. If you ever need anything in your house, in your work, you call on me, because looking at you, I can tell you can't fix anything, okay? If you need something, you call on me. My name is Kelly. I'm a licensed psychologist. If you ever want to sit down and talk with me, if you ever know of anybody in your church that needs counseling, you call on me. And I will not tell you the times that I have called her personally or I have called other people suggesting her to them. My name is Elaine. I love pastoring people. I love sitting with people. If there's anybody in the hospital, if there's anybody you want me to go sit with, I'm a very good listener. You call on me. My name is David. I have a boat. If you ever want to get out on the river, if you ever want to get in touch with nature, God's creation, if you ever just need to get out in the wild, you call on me. You know, I could go on like this for hours like this, and so could many of you. It's not a list. It's family. It's people who've absolutely changed our life. And I'm asking you, do you have a list like this? I would dare say, yes, you do. And the older we get, the longer the list becomes. Family is not always our blood. It's those who can become our blood. And on it will be people that you and I will remember forever. And here's what I want you to know, okay? This is absolute the gospel here. You take the list with you. You take the list with you. There are only two things going to eternity, okay? The Word of God and people. You take the list with you. Now, I know I've said it here 100 times. Okay, we bring nothing into this life, and we take nothing with us. And I will say, I want to share with you this. Years ago, I heard an old minister give a message, and he talked about this very thing I'm talking about right here. He's since died many years ago, but I've never forgotten the image he gave me. In fact, I don't think there's a month that didn't go by, I don't think about it at least once. And that I imagine that when I pass from this life to the next, whether it's tonight or 50 years from tonight, and I stand before Jesus Christ, the man and the presence and the creator I have served my entire adult life, and I finally meet him face to face, where I no longer see in part, as Paul says, but I see fully as I'm fully known. I just imagine I'm going to just throw my arms around Jesus. And I'm absolutely sure I'm probably going to cry. Because I have longed for him my entire life. And I also imagine that I'm holding this list. And he says to me, "What are you holding there?" And I say, "It's just a list, Jesus. It's just a list of names of people. That there's no way, if I didn't have them, there's no way I would be here standing in front of you. Jesus, there are people on this list who loved me when I could not love myself. Jesus, there are people on this list who loved me without judgment. There are people on this list who taught me how to laugh, who taught me how to laugh with themselves and taught me to do the same. There are people on this list who cried with me in the lowest moments of my life. There are people on this list, one man in particular, the man who sent me to seminary from Pauli's Island, back when I was 25 years old, discovered the gold in me and knew how to make it shine. There are people on this list, particularly a family who's given us money to be able to help send one of our kids to college. Jesus, there are a couple people on this list who had, in time of my life, the guts to say what I needed to hear at a particular time in my life. In other words, what I'm telling you, Jesus, there's just no way that I will be standing here in front of you if it wasn't for these people here. And I just can imagine Jesus says to me, "Jonathan," he looks at the list and he says, I know every one of these people. I know every one of them. In fact, I want you to know, I saw them on the way here to get you. They are here in the city of God. They are waiting for you. I saw them in the street dancing, and they were painting this huge banner, and they were putting it over the entire street, and all it says is, "Welcome home." Finding family. Family that not always is our blood, but because of Jesus Christ, praise God, it's the family that can become our blood. And so it is with you. Let's pray. Lord, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for countless others who you've brought into our lives that have changed us forever. There will never come an end to the good that they have done. And because of that, Lord, we know surely your goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we look forward to that day. We dwell in your house, well, not just you, but all those who have so impacted our lives. We are dwelling with them and you and all the company of heaven forever and ever. And all of God's people said, Amen.